Tonight we are continuing our discipleship evangelism series, and we are in level 1, and we are in lesson 11. And tonight's lesson is really exciting to me because I've seen this work in my life so much. It's been such a blessing to me and everyone else who gets this understanding. And tonight's lesson, level 1, lesson 11, the title is The Benefits of Speaking in Tongues. Amen. See, a lot of times as believers, we really don't have a lot of understanding when it comes to speaking in tongues and things such as that. A lot of times we just think that speaking in tongues is something that God gave us to be better than the Baptists. And unfortunately, there's some people that think like that. But that is not the reason why God gave us tongues. He didn't give us tongues to prove that somehow we are more mature than others. He gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to be something that would be such a benefit to us. But I've discovered that when we don't have understanding, the most beautiful truths do us no good. We must have understanding from the Scriptures to know what's been freely given to us before we can start to appreciate and start to see what God had intended to be evident in our life. We need to know these things. You know, there are a lot of people, before they learned about healing, go around sick. But when they learn the simple truths of healing that Jesus provided it for you on the cross, they start to walk in healing. Why? What was the difference? It wasn't God's attitude. It was their attitude because of the introduction of the word into their lives. And so tonight we're going to talk about the benefits of speaking in tongues. Lots of people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, but they really haven't carried on with it because there's been so many misconceptions. Let me just dispel one misconception about tongues right now. And most of tonight's message is going to be about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, because I don't have time to go through all the different aspects this evening. But one misconception concerning tongues is that you can only pray in tongues when the Spirit moves upon you mightily. And so some people say, well, that when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you missed last week, we had two messages last week. We discussed a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that it is for us today. I can't go through that again. I'm not going to. So you can go back and listen to those. But one of the misconceptions that some people are waiting for the Holy Spirit to move upon them and make them speak in tongues. And so we looked at last week, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and they, talking about the apostles, the disciples, all of those who were assembled in the upper room, even including women and men, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke with tongues. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And so what I want you to see is that they spoke in tongues. You can. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you've ever spoken in tongues, you can pray in the Spirit every single day when you choose to. Just like you can pray in English if you speak English, or if you speak Spanish or Russian or whatever your native tongue is. You can pray anytime you are ready. You know, most of us, we know we should read the Bible, but how many of us hold to a system of belief that I can only read the Bible when the Spirit moves upon me mightily? No. We know we can pick up the Word and get into the Word and just look to the Lord and expect the Holy Spirit to teach us. It's the same way with praying in English or praying in your known tongue. You pray whenever you want to, whenever you feel the Lord leading, obviously, as well. But you know what? You don't always have to pray when you feel the leading. As a matter of fact, mature believers will tell you, don't wait only when you feel like praying to pray. Because if you do that, you won't pray very much because the flesh and the devil will make sure that your emotions don't want to do it. It's the same way with praying in tongues. You can choose to pray in tongues anytime you're ready. You know, the Holy Spirit is always ready. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is always ready to pray through us. And we're going to see that tonight. And so, but first of all, I want to dispel some other misconceptions concerning tongues that I've ran into through the years. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. And this misconception is that tongues aren't for everyone. If, you know, those who have come to the concession that tongues did not pass away with the apostles, because there's not one scripture proof in the Bible that tongues ceased. Okay? There is a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that they've misapplied and misinterpreted, and a lot of people have acknowledged that. So what they do is they say, well, tongues isn't for everyone. And so we're going to look at that real quickly. But in Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 38 and 39. And Peter said to them, talking about those people that had told him, what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you," notice he said every one of you, "be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "For the promise." See, when Peter was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't talking about the regeneration right there, okay? He talked about that before he talked about the gift. When he talked about the gift, he was talking about the promise. So you have to listen to those last messages last week, those two messages. I don't have time to go through it. But when Peter was talking about the promise, he was talking about the indwelling and the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and all those things and praying in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Verse 49 says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now, this says it's for every one of you and to all of you. So I want you to see this. The promise, the gift of the Spirit. And he was directly speaking about the experience of Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and they were all speaking in tongues. And they came out of the upper room speaking in known languages of men. How do we know that? Because those people, if you read verses 5 through 10, 13, they heard them speaking in their own language, languages they never learned. Okay. And so we're going to see this. Okay, so let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Okay, I'm going to go to a verse that people use to show and interpret it incorrectly, saying that tongues aren't for everyone. And I've discovered everyone who believes that tongues aren't for everyone, they insist they're one of the ones it's not for. I want you to notice this. Everyone who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues, they don't hold to that tongues aren't for everyone. But people who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, they're the ones who hold this doctrine that it's not for everyone. It's amazing. But when you understand the benefits of tongues, you'll stop being scared of it. See, a lot of times people are scared of it because they don't understand it, because they've been taught against it. And so that's what we're doing this evening. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30 says, "Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" So here we see clearly Paul's writing says, do all speak with tongues? Obviously the answer there is no. What we have to understand is what he's talking about. Look at verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29, Paul says, "Are all apostles?" Obviously not. "Are all prophets?" Obviously not. "Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?" The answer is obviously not, okay? He's talking about ministry gifts here. He's not talking about what God gives all believers. I want you to notice, are all teachers? No. But let me ask you a question. Can you teach someone the word of God, even though you haven't been given the ministry gift of teacher to the body of Christ, where you're teaching the word on a public platform? Of course you can. Are you telling me because you haven't been given the ministry gift of teaching, you can't teach your children at home the Word of God? You better teach them the Word of God. See, this is something for some and not for others. He's talking about the ministry gift. In verse 30, when he says, do all speak with tongues, he was talking about the ministry gift of tongues in the church. And right after it says, do all interpret in the church. I don't have time to go through all these things. I wish I did. But I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 28, chapter 12 and verse 28 says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. I want you to notice this. Paul said there's varieties, plural, of tongues, plural. I want you to notice that. There's different types of tongues according to scriptures. I want you to see this. Now, we're going to see this real quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. This is so very important. This helped me when the Lord started showing me these things. Okay, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I want you to notice this. This is the varieties of tongues here. Paul says there is a supernatural endowment where you can speak with the tongues of men. When did that happen? Acts chapter 2. Okay, they were speaking with the tongues of men. Notice next he says, and the tongues of angels. What are the tongues of angels? Those are the tongues that are not tongues of men. In other words, when you're speaking it, it is not a known language. You are speaking a heavenly language. That is what some people call, those who are in the Pentecostal circles will say, you're praying in your heavenly tongue, heavenly language. That's what they're talking about, okay? So don't let someone tell you that tongues are only when you're speaking another language. another known language of man, even though you didn't learn it yourself. It's a supernatural gift, but it's only a tongue of men. And so if you are praying in tongues and nobody recognizes that, then that's false. See, that is not what the Bible's teaching here. But I want you to notice that Paul said there's a varieties of tongues, and he says right here that there's a tongues of men and of angels. Let me just tell you, the tongues of angels are the tongues in the church. When it goes forth in the church, there needs to be an interpretation. We're going to see this a little bit later. But I want you to also, we're going to see this right now, is that there is a gift, a personal gift of tongues, which is called your prayer language. That is what is not commonly discussed in the Pentecostal circles as your prayer language. And that is something that the devil fights against. He fights against you praying in tongues. He fights against. Notice the things that the devil fights against. He fights against you being in the Word. He fights against you listening to the Word. He fights against you praying in the Spirit. He always fights against that. Thoughts will bombard your mind. This is not accomplishing anything. Anyone who's been filled with the Holy Ghost and has prayed in tongues has had to deal with the thoughts that this is nothing. This is just gibberish. This is accomplishing nothing, folks. The devil wouldn't fight something that wasn't powerful, okay? And so now we're going to get into why it's so powerful. Why did God want every single human being to have the gift of the Father? Notice it's the gift of the Apostle Peter said it's for every one of you, the gift and the promise of the Father. He wasn't talking about the ministry gift. Okay, he was talking about the personal gift that we can all have. And now we're going to get into this. I'm going to show you this from Scripture, that I'm not just making this up. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to start off in verses 13 and 14. And we're going to go through quite a few verses in chapter 14. We're going to go back and forth. Okay, I'm not giving this necessarily an order of importance. I'm just teaching it, praying that the Holy Spirit will open your understanding and you get the understanding that you need to receive. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue," notice this, "if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." We're in verse 14. "But my understanding is unfruitful." I want you to notice this. The Apostle Paul says that when he prays in tongues, his natural understanding is unfruitful. In other words, it isn't something that makes sense to the natural mind. I want you to see this. This is so very important that you understand this. That is why the devil says, this is nonsense. There's absolutely nothing happening here. Well, you're merely seeing the fulfillment of verse 14, that when you pray in a tongue, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. Look at verse 15. "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Let me just dispel another false conception about praying in tongues, and that is, those who do not believe in tongues will say praying with the spirit here in verse 15 is talking about spirit-led prayer. Now, that is a very stretch for an interpretation for there in that verse, because if that's what you believe, Paul's saying that you should pray with spirit-led prayer sometimes, but the other times you don't pray with spirit-led prayer. You're just praying out of your own understanding. Does anybody believe that God wants us to waste our time praying prayers that are not led of the Spirit of God? Who would agree with that? So obviously Paul's not saying that. He's saying, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. So when you pray, okay, your spirit is what's praying. Let's go up to right now. I'm going to show you this from Scripture. Okay, verse 14. We already read this, but look at verse 14. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." This is so very important for you to understand that when you are praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, it is your spirit praying, not your natural mind, okay? Now, I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." I want you to see that, okay? You, the part of you that has been joined to the Lord, the Bible says is your spirit. Your spirit and the spirit of his son, when God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, and it cries out, Abba, Father, that is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 and Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. When the Lord sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, when you were regenerated, okay, When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are coming into agreement with that, and you are learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. The part where the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, you are yielding to the Spirit of God. And your spirit that is now joined to the Lord, out of that place, that is where you are praying. You're not praying with your understanding. That is why you can be praying in the Spirit, and your mind could be thinking about other things, and you're thinking, this is accomplishing nothing. Now, that is one of the reason why the devil lies to you. If it wasn't accomplishing anything, the devil would leave you alone. As a matter of fact, he would encourage you, okay? But I want you to see that when you pray in the Spirit, it is your spirit praying, okay? When you pray in a tongue, your spirit is praying. So very important. We need to learn how to do things by the Spirit of God, not by our own understanding, our own intellect, our own ability, our own power, okay? So that is the first benefit of speaking in tongues. We're now getting into benefits, okay? So the first benefit is that when you pray, it's your spirit praying. Your spirit that is now joined to the Lord, okay? And it's going to be praying the perfect will and wisdom of God. We're going to see that in a minute, okay? The second benefit of praying in tongues, okay? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 4, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 4. And so the second benefit of praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, okay, is that you build yourself up, okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." I want you to notice that. When you pray in tongues, you are in the Spirit. You are speaking the mysteries and the wisdom of God out of your mouth. Look at verse 4. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Okay? So I want you to notice this. When you're in the church, I don't have time to go through all of this, but the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is dealing with the ministry gifts within the church, okay? But he did not expect that people would not go and pray at home. But he was saying, in church, I don't want you all to gather together and you're all speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and, you know, everyone's focusing on themselves. When you come together at church, you were supposed to be coming together for the goal of edifying others, okay? Not just consuming everything upon yourself. There was a whole lot of things going on in the Corinthian church, which I really can't, I don't have time to go through. But what I want you to see here in these verses, that when you speak in a tongue, when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in a tongue, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God, and you're declaring the mysteries of God, and you're edifying yourself. This is so very important. So one of the primary purposes of speaking in tongues is to promote spiritual growth. When you look in the Strong's and you look up the definition of edification right here in this verse, it means to promote or to increase holiness, increase grace in your life, increase wisdom. I'm telling you, if you go and look it up, if you have a Strong's Concordance, if you have a Bible, if you have a software program, you can go right now, you can go and look at that and look up what that word edifying in verse 4 means. And it literally means, as when it's used as a metaphor, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. I don't know about you, but how many of you want to grow in wisdom? How many of you want to grow in love and affection? How many of you want to grow in grace, which is God's ability, okay? And virtue and holiness. You know what holiness is? It means to be set apart. When you choose to pray in the Spirit, you are setting your mouth apart. You are taming your tongue, as it says in James chapter 3. No man can tame the tongue. And it's, you know, it's full of poison. Not when you're praying in tongues, it's not. It's full of the righteousness and the wisdom and the power of God, because it's not you praying. You're not praying through your full of all of your doubts and unbeliefs, full of all the stress and all the stuff you're going through. You're praying directly out of your spirit that is now joined to the Lord. Let me tell you, God's not discouraged. God isn't wondering what he needs to do, what needs to be done. Amen. God is not discouraged. So when we pray in tongues, we are allowing the Spirit of God in us to pray the mysteries of God through us, okay? This is something that's so very important, okay? And we're going to see this. But when we're praying in the Spirit, we need to be praying in faith. believing that we are releasing the wisdom of God, releasing the mysteries of God, that we are united to God, and that God himself is praying through us. We're going to see this more as we go tonight. But you know what needs to happen? You need to start believing that you're interpreting what is happening. We just saw that. Let him speak in verse 13. Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Let me just say, when you're praying by yourself, when you're praying for edification to build yourself up, when you're in your prayer closet and you're just praying in the spirit, when you're in your car driving down the road and you're praying in the spirit, you're not doing it mindlessly necessarily. You're doing it in faith, saying, God, I know that it's the Spirit praying and you are declaring the mysteries of God. And just start listening to God speaking to your heart, speaking to your mind. You know, there are times when I don't know what to do. And I just start praying in the Spirit and God will show me what to do. And I'm going to give an example, hopefully later on if we have time, and a perfect example of what I'm talking about. But what I want you to see is that you build yourself up when you pray in the Holy Spirit. So you also keep yourself in the love of God. Let's turn to Jude. There's only one chapter, and we're going to go to verse 20 and 21. So part of that building yourself up is that you keep yourself in the love of God. In other words, your experience of the love of God. So in Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So this helps us when we pray in the Spirit. It helps us to keep ourselves in the love of God. God's love for you never changes, but your perception of his love does change based upon what you're going through. I'm sure everyone can understand that and agree with that. Let me just tell you, I was going through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff has been on me to get done. And let me just tell you, when you have lots of stuff to get done and you have little time to do it, you can start to stress out. And so I just had to get alone and get in my prayer closet and just start praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what? When you understand this stuff, it doesn't take a long time before you start to feel that refreshing, before you start to feel the edification, that you're feeling yourself setting yourself apart again unto God, and you're keeping yourself in the love of God. The love of God just starts to flow again. Amen? Just starts to flow again. I'm telling you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you pray in the Spirit, if you're finding yourself having a hard time loving your family and loving others, just get away. Go to the bathroom. Lock yourself in the bathroom for a little bit. Just pray in tongues. You don't have to scream. God's not deaf. Okay? The Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Just start praying in the Spirit and just believing that you are releasing life into your experience. Amen? So that's what you need to do. Speaking in tongues helps you fulfill your responsibility of keeping yourself aware of and enjoying God's unfailing love. I'm telling you, this is very important. Amen. Speaking in tongues produces rest and spiritual refreshment. This is a powerful thing about praying in the Spirit. We're still on building yourself up. This is one of the primary purposes of praying in the Spirit. It keeps you built up. It keeps you in your holy faith. It helps to keep you in the love of God. Amen. And so let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 12. And Isaiah, I don't know if you've discovered this, but Isaiah had such a great revelation of Christ and the work of Christ. I mean, for an Old Testament prophet, he saw things so clearly, it was awesome. He had such a revelation of Christ on the cross and all those things. This is just powerful. In Isaiah chapter 28, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. In verse 11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." I want you to focus on this, okay? It says here, God is speaking. He says, "With stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people," okay? Now, you could interpret this any way you want to, okay? I've heard different preachers interpret this verse in many different ways, but the Bible is the perfect commentary on itself, okay? But notice, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. And look at what the stammering lips and another tongue produces. Verse 12 tells us what it produces. It produces, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." So let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to see that the Apostle Paul used this portion of Scripture as something that was speaking about speaking in tongues. See, I didn't make this up, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, Paul says, "In the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me." Listen, do you see it? Paul quotes that portion of Scripture in Isaiah. Now, he doesn't quote all of it. And so what I want you to see here is that since Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12 was talking about tongues, how do we know that? Paul said it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul declared the proper interpretation of Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. And in Isaiah chapter 12, it says, the tongues is refreshing and tongues is rest. I'm telling you, if you need refreshment, if you feel like you're worn out, get in your prayer closet and pray in tongues. Drive in your car and drive down the road and pray in tongues instead of worrying about stuff. I'm telling you, I'm guilty sometimes. I'm thinking about all the stuff I've got to do, and I'm burdened down, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm getting short with people, short with my wife. Start praying in tongues, believing that you're going to be refreshed, believing that you're going to enter into God's rest. Amen. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is the part of you that is praying where God lives. We said this. Your spirit is pure and righteous and holy. We saw that in the Power of Grace course. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, "And put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." When you pray in tongues, you are putting on that new man. That is one of the ways you put on that new man. Amen? Okay? When you pray in tongues, you release into your soul and your body, talking about your mind, that rest and refreshment that's already in your spirit. Let me ask you, where does God live? In my heart. Does God ever leave? No. So why do I feel discouraged sometimes? Do you think God's discouraged? No, God's not discouraged. You know, there was a word that went forth in a service one time. This guy, he gave this word, and this word this guy gave was very interesting. And the word that he gave was this: "My little sheep, fear not. Be of courage. Have your hearts filled with life." I can't remember exactly the word, but he says, "Don't be discouraged. If I weren't God, I'd be discouraged too." Think about that. God is not discouraged, and he lives on the inside of you, and your spirit is now joined with the Lord. If you can just understand that when you're discouraged, it's not because it's hopeless. It's because you have your mind in the wrong place. Get your mind back on God. And one of the ways to do that is by praying in the Spirit. You will get yourself back in refreshment, back in rest. You will get yourself back into the love of God if you're doing it with the right understanding, if you understand this stuff. Okay? So whenever I feel tired or discouraged, I pray in the Spirit until rest and refreshment come. Amen? Despite negative circumstances and emotions, I will exercise my faith to pray in tongues until I'm aware and enjoying God's love again. I'm telling you, folks, this really works. You need to understand this. God did not give us the baptism of Holy Spirit and tongues for no reason. There's a reason for it, folks. Part of it is for personal edification. The other part is because we're edified in the things of God. We're filled with the Word of, we're full of the Word of God. We're also able to walk in the power of God. That is also true, but that's another dynamic. You know, there's so many gifts of the Spirit that the Bible teaches on. I'm just teaching on one, and I'm actually teaching on a very distinct portion of the diversities of tongues, and that is the personal edification gift of tongues that God gives to believers. Amen. So we're going to look at now the third benefit of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, or praying in the Spirit. Okay? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we looked at verse 14 again. I told you we're going to go to this again. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 again says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So when you pray in tongues, you pray perfectly. Okay? We're going to see this. I'm going to go through many verses now. This is going to be awesome. I believe a lot of you are going to have a lot of things turned on to you. I was going through all this stuff just before I was preaching. I was getting excited again. It's amazing how we can forget the awesome truths of the Word because of life. And we just forget these things. And we kind of put them on the shelf. We put the great gifts that God's given us, and we put them on the shelf, and we start handling life through our own understanding, handling life through our own intellect, instead of using the gifts that God expects us to give, to use. He gave us them for a purpose, and he expects us to use them. And when we use them, we see the benefit of it. But if we don't use them, we don't see the benefit of it. Okay? And so when you pray in tongues, your natural mind doesn't understand what's going on. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 14:14. Okay? Unless there's an interpretation, your intellect doesn't know what your spirit is praying. Okay? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:16. But in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. Why? Jesus now lives there. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Folks, you have the mind of Christ. It's not something you're trying to get. You have it. But are you releasing it? Are you releasing the power of God into your life? Are you releasing the love of God? You know, God is on the inside of you. His love never fluctuates. Okay? He's never discouraged. So when we're discouraged and we're not sensing God's love, you know, it's because we have turned the valve off, so to speak. When we pray in tongues, it's like turning on the valve. How many of you would believe that if I hold a glass of water under my kitchen tap, but I don't turn the valve on, how many of you would believe I'd get water? Sean, you have to turn on the valve. Okay, you have the canister, you have the glass sitting there waiting, you even have the water pipe sitting there, but you're missing it. You haven't turned the valve. You have to turn the tap on. You have to let the water. You have to release the water that's already in the pipes and to go through and then go into your glass. You know, that is the reason why a lot of us aren't feeling refreshed. We're praying to God to refresh us because we don't believe we have refreshment already on the inside of us. What would you think if I called the water department and said, "Hey, there's no water," and they start asking me some questions? They said, "Well, have you turned on the tap?" I said, "What? I'm supposed to do that? You mean it's available to me?" What if I said, "Water department, I want you to come over here and I want you to give me some water." They're going to say, "Do you have water to your house?" "Yes, I have water to my house." "Do you have a faucet in your kitchen?" "Yes, I do. But I want you to come and I want you to turn the handle and I want you to give me the refreshment." You know, they're not going to do that. Why? They've already done their job. They've given you the water. It's in the pipe. They can say, "You know what? We are showing that we have water flowing to your neighborhood. There's water in your area. There's water in your house. The problem is you. Turn on the tap." We're not going to come there and turn it on for you. See, a lot of Christian praying is begging God to turn the tap on instead of us believing he's already given us refreshment. He's already given us his love. He's already given us his joy because he lives on the inside of us. And instead of believing that and in faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God and edifying ourselves, we ask God to do what he's told us to do. It's just like with healing. Sometimes, "Oh God, please heal my neighbor." Well, why don't you go over and lay hands on him? "Oh God, save my neighborhood, save our city, save our nation." Well, you're going to have to go preach the gospel. "Oh, well, I don't want to do that. I want God to do it." No, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to do what you're supposed to do. God's already released his power. He's already released his spirit. The Holy Spirit's already on the earth. It's been on the earth since Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Holy Spirit's been here. Okay, he hasn't left. He's never gone back to heaven and left us alone. He's always been here. So the problem is us, not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's waiting to flow, but are we tapping in? Are we keeping ourselves in the love of God? Are we keeping ourselves refreshed, keeping ourselves in the rest of God by us turning on the tap? I'm telling you, it's up to us to do this. Amen? All right. So unless there's an interpretation, get back to that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when you're praying, you need to believe for an interpretation. So unless there's an interpretation, your intellect doesn't know what your spirit is praying. And in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. You're not trying to get it. You're trying to release it. Okay? You already have the Holy Spirit. God has already sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. That is by that spirit that we cry out, "Abba, Father." So we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. And so your spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there, knows all things. How many believe the Holy Spirit knows all things? Well, all of us would say yes. Where does the Spirit now live? Well, he lives inside of me. So that means you have the potential to know all things if you learn how to tap in to what God has. I didn't say you automatically know it, but I'm saying the one who knows everything is now joined to your spirit and he lives on the inside of you. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and let's look at verse 20. It says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things." Now, how many of you don't feel like you know all things? Many times I don't. Well, I'm telling you, folks, whenever we feel like we don't know what to do, that is the perfect time when we should get along with God and start praying in the tongues. And so we get back refreshed, get back encouraged, because I've discovered you can't hear God when you're discouraged. You have to get in faith. You have to get into the love of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And let me just tell you this. When you have a revelation of God's love, when you are dwelling in the love of God, it's easy for your faith to work. Think about that. Every single person who's seen God answer their prayer, they generally, it's because they've been encouraged. They're in the love of God. They're basking in the love of God. They're asking for the right things because they're basking in the love of God. Amen. They're not desiring the wrong things. They're desiring the right things. Amen. So I'm telling you, folks, when you keep yourself in the love of God, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, and your faith works. Amen? I'm just telling you, this is just true. "Therefore, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit always knows how to pray perfectly for every situation, for yourself and others." Why? Because you're joined to the Lord's Spirit that's praying. The Holy Spirit Himself is praying through you when you pray in the Spirit. Okay? There's a difference between praying from the Spirit and praying from your mind, okay? We saw this. Apostle Paul said, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I also pray with the understanding." But he said, "When I pray with the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful," okay? So when you pray from your mind, your natural mind, typically, it's incomplete. It doesn't have complete information. It has incomplete information. It lacks full knowledge of God, full knowledge of God's word, full knowledge of the situation that you're facing, full knowledge of other people that are involved. I'm telling you, folks, there's no way for you to pray perfectly with your understanding. You have to trust praying in the Spirit. That's why the devil fights it so much. Okay? "Therefore, you cannot pray from your intellect with completeness and 100% accuracy. However, since your born-again spirit knows all things because it's Jesus in you, it's impossible to pray in tongues without praying God's perfect will." Okay? "At times when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit may intercede for someone else through you, and that understanding comes to your mind as you're praying in tongues." That happens all the time. You're sitting there praying, you're just praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden someone comes to mind. That is interpretation coming your way. God is using you to pray through you for your own situation and even for others. What's the scripture I have for that? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. Okay? In verse 26, in Romans chapter 8, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us and through us," actually, "with groanings which cannot be uttered." Verse 27, "Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." How does the Holy Spirit make intercession for us? When we pray in the Spirit, He is taking over our tongue, and He is praying through us. Folks, I don't have time to talk about authority, but God has given man authority on the earth. God wants to do so much, but He has chosen the method to flow through us, okay? That is just the truth. If you want to see your city saved for Jesus, you are actually praying for God to flow through you to see people come to Christ. It is useless to pray for God to save someone and then not think that God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, "Since you care so much, I'm sending you." You know that happened over there in Matthew chapter 9? If you see Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, "Now go pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. For the harvest is white unto harvest," is ready. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And then He sent them forth." I can imagine when Jesus told them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. I imagine they prayed. And guess who Jesus sent? Them. You know, Jesus doesn't send people who aren't interested. If you aren't interested enough to care to seek God about it, then you aren't interested to see God do it through you. But if you are seeking God about something, and God has put something on your heart, it's because He wants to flow through you to do those things. That is just something that is really awesome. Amen. So this is especially helpful when you're praying in tongues, okay? Especially helpful when your mind is not sure how to pray for a specific purpose or situation that you pray in tongues. There have been many times I say, "Lord, I don't know what to pray. So in faith right now, I yield to the Holy Spirit. I yield my tongue. I yield my tongue. I allow my tongue to be tamed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, pray and intercede through me about this situation. And I'll just pray in the Spirit and be sensitive and be thinking and keep my mind on the Lord and see which way that my mind goes. And when you know the Word of God, see, this is when it can be dangerous. If someone doesn't know the Word, they just take every thought that comes to their mind and they think it's God. No, you have to check it with the Word. You have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Does this line up with Scripture? Yes, then it's God. If not, it's not God. It's that simple. Okay, can't say I was praying in tongues and God told me to leave my wife and run off with this woman. Obviously, we could recognize that's false. But you know what? How many people have done that? Okay, so when you know the Word, it'll help cause you to recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Let's go to John 16. So that was the third benefit of praying in tongues, is that when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. God is praying through you into your situation. Okay, he's praying through you the perfect will of God, because you don't know how to pray as you ought. So the Holy Spirit does, and he prays through you. Okay, so let's turn to John chapter 16. We're going to look at another benefit when you're praying in the Spirit. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority. On his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, okay? So when you pray in the Spirit, okay, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Again, truth is, Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit can only lead you into the Word, that which is already recorded, okay? It'll never contradict the Word of God. And so as you pray in tongues, often you'll see this verse coming into play in your life, that in John chapter 16 and verse 13, that he shows you things to come. He leads you into all truth. John 14:26 is related to this. And it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Again, Holy Spirit does not contradict what Jesus taught and the Word of God, okay? So he'll teach you and bring things to your remembrance, amen? So let's now go to the fifth benefit, okay? And this is talking about wisdom now, okay? As you speak in tongues, you are speaking the hidden wisdom of God. Paul received the revelation of Scriptures that he preached through speaking in tongues. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, again, we're going back to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 2, actually, let's start in chapter 14. Keep your finger at chapter 2, we're going to go there, but I'm going to go to chapter 14 first. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're looking at verse 2, and Paul says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Okay, I want you to pay attention to that. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So notice, if you cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, that we speak the wisdom of God, we speak the mysteries of God when we speak in a tongue, that we're speaking the wisdom of God. I want you to notice that. So when you don't have wisdom, pray in tongues. James chapter 1, how many of you lacks wisdom? Let him ask of God. You know what? Pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are saying, God, I believe this. I am turning to you to give me wisdom. Amen. You know, it's one thing to pray for God to give you wisdom and just sit and wait. You pray for God to give you wisdom in faith and then pray in tongues, expecting that you're releasing your teacher and the one that is wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to bring things to your understanding and make your understanding fruitful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're still in chapter 2. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, that's an Old Testament scripture. Okay, that was fulfilled in the New Testament through the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. See, it is no longer applicable for Christians to say, oh, nobody knows the things of God. Well, that was for the Old Testament saints, but verse 10 clearly says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Well, how does he reveal it to us? When we pray in tongues, we're releasing the mysteries and the wisdom of God. Okay, verse 10, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. When you pray in tongues, you're saying, God, I am coming into agreement with all the mysteries and all the wisdom in everything that you have already freely given to me. And I thank you that, Lord, everything that is for me right now, that, Lord, you are bringing it to my understanding and making my understanding fruitful for what I'm supposed to do in my ministry, my business, my home. You know, you can pray in tongues about your children, and God will show you what to do, how to reach each single one, because they all have different personalities. You know, you may try one thing with one kid and it works, and the other kid, it doesn't work. You know, I don't know what to do. Pray in the Spirit. God cares about your kids more than you do. You know, pray in tongues and believe that He's speaking to you. Amen. This is just powerful stuff. And so as Paul spoke God's mysteries in tongues, he built himself up spiritually. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? He built himself up spiritually and revelation knowledge came. As you pray in tongues, you'll be built up spiritually and revelation knowledge comes unto you. Now, again, it's always in agreement with the scriptures, okay? I can't stress that enough. If you know the word of God and I've had weird thoughts come to my mind and I thought, wow, I've never heard that before. So I open up the Bible and say, that wasn't God. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me. I did, in fact, hear a different spirit, folks. Whenever you're praying in tongues, the devil will try. If you think every thought that comes to your head is automatically going to be from God, okay, the devil will bring thoughts to you, okay? He will. So that's when you have to be humble and say, you know what? This idea, this revelation that I received, I'm going to go look in the Word and make sure it is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And if not, be humble enough to say, thank you, Jesus, that your word saved me from believing and teaching others the wrong stuff, okay? I can't stress that enough. So let's go to the next benefit of praying in tongues, okay? We need to pray to interpret, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:13 says that we need to pray that we will interpret. So it's beyond your carnal ability to grasp the mysteries and the hidden wisdom of God that you're praying in the Spirit. However, if you ask God and believe in faith that He's speaking to you, God will supernaturally give you the interpretation, like I said, but it agrees with the Word. So the way that God speaks, so sometimes we're waiting for Him to come sit on the edge of our bed and just tell us, you know, like you're having a conversation or like you're listening to this program right now. That's not the way God speaks, okay? God is a spirit, okay? And spiritual things are spiritually discerned. It doesn't come to your natural mind in a natural way that you speak to somebody. It comes a lot of times. Sometimes God speaks to you just like that. But a lot of times it comes in perceptions, okay? I remember when I was in Russia one time. I was traveling to all the different villages. And God just put this strong desire on my heart to put the Bible school that we were doing on DVD and send the Bible school throughout all these villages. God didn't sit on the edge of my bed and tell me, Sean, I want you to record the Bible school, put it on DVD, and send it through all this area. No, it was just this desire, the strong impression in my heart. And since I knew it agreed with Scripture, I went ahead and did it. We didn't have the money to do it. We didn't have the ability to do it. And God supernaturally sent me a guy that knew about cameras, knew about all those things. And we ended up getting all the equipment. God provided for the equipment. Now think about that. It was just an impression, a strong impression. I've been praying in the Spirit and God spoke to me in my heart. Amen. So you perceive things in your spirit that are from God. And when you know the Word, it doesn't take a long time to test something. You can instantly, when you know the Scripture, you can instantly tell what is of God and what isn't of God. Remember, every time God speaks to you, it is for the edification of others. Okay, obviously, He wants to edify you personally. Yes, yes, yes. So I want to make that clear. God loves you, but it's not all about you. It's not about every time you pray in tongues, God's going to show you how to get your Mercedes and how to get that. You know, that's all self-centered. But God wants to show you how you can succeed in life, in your family, in your marriage, in your job, and all those things. But He also wants to show you people that are in your path, how He wants you to minister to them. Amen. But what I want you to see The last benefit, and obviously there we could look at more benefits. We are running out of time. But when you pray in the Spirit, you are communicating. This is a great benefit of praying in tongues. When you pray in the Spirit, you are communicating directly from your heart to the Father and from the Father's heart to you. And this bypasses your brain with all of its doubts and fears, and it builds you up in your most holy faith and releases the hidden wisdom of God. Amen. I'm telling you, this is for every single one of you. This is not just for some of you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. It says, Paul says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, he wasn't rubbing their nose in it because it wasn't for everyone. He was saying, I thank God that I do it more than you all. You know, he didn't say that you couldn't do it. Actually, when you look at all of these benefits that we went through today, okay, you know, it says right here in 1 Corinthians 14, 16 and 17, it says here that you give thanks. It says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed, this is in church, obviously, say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say. Verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So when you pray in tongues, you're thanking God and you're giving God praise and glory and you're giving him thanks well. Folks, we all just need to understand the benefits of praying in the Spirit. I'm telling you, a lot of times we don't focus on these benefits. But we need to focus on the benefits of praying in tongues, because when you focus on the benefits, it'll cause you to not delay and put it off. You will discover that your spirit is praying, the part of you that's joined to the Lord, that you're building yourself up, that you're edifying yourself, that you're keeping yourself in the love of God, that you're keeping yourself in faith, that you're keeping yourself believing, that you're building yourselves up, that you're keeping yourself in holiness. You're keeping yourself in the power of God and the grace of God. Amen. And when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. You know, amen. You're praying out of the part of you that's joined to God. You're being led into all truth. You're discovering things to come. You're speaking the wisdom of God, and it's coming to your understanding. It's building you up. You're releasing and placing yourself in the place where the Holy Spirit's able to speak through you, and he's able to give you understanding in your heart of all the things that he's freely given to you. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede through you for other people and also for yourself. Amen. This is just an awesome, awesome, awesome gift. No wonder the devil has tried to destroy it and say it's past, or to say it's not for everybody. You know, if you look at all the benefits of tongues, you would have to say that God wants some Christians to succeed and others to not succeed. Do you believe that? No. That's why Peter said in Acts chapter 2, this is for every one of you, every one of you, and to all who are afar off. Amen. This is for every single one of you. And I did not have time to give the testimony, but one time we were in Colorado and we could not find a place to live. I only needed a place to live for 3 months before we were going to South Africa. We needed a place for 3 months and we could not find a place. And I was praying in tongues and God put on my mind a guy who wasn't even living in, we were in Colorado Springs at the time. He wasn't even living in Colorado Springs. And I just called him on the phone. I said, while I was praying in tongues, I saw myself calling him. So I gave him a phone call. I said, I don't even know why I'm calling you, but this is my situation. And I told him my situation. And he was quiet on the other side of the phone. After about 5 seconds, he said, you know what? My mother-in-law just moved from Colorado Springs, and she has 3 months left on her lease. And I'm going to be in Colorado Springs tomorrow. Let me go to that apartment complex, because they would not let her cancel her lease. So she's still having to pay to rent that apartment for 3 months. Let me go to that apartment complex and see if they will let you sublet it, because they wouldn't let her sublet it to anyone else. So the next day, folks, there's no way I could have known this. The next day he travels to Colorado Springs on business. He goes to that apartment complex and says, I have a friend who needs an apartment for 3 months. He's a missionary. He's a minister. He's a preacher of the gospel. Will you let him sublet my mother-in-law's apartment for 3 months? And they said, sure, we'll let him rent for 3 months. Folks, there's no way I could have known that. That happened through a time of praying in tongues, because I didn't know what to do. Everywhere we were going, nobody wanted to rent to us for only 3 months. Nobody did. We'll give you a 6-month lease at the least. Well, I couldn't do that. We were going to South Africa. So God had it all worked out. There was no way for me to know that. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, this is good stuff. Amen. You need to have a fresh excitement about praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Let me tell you, if you pray in tongues, it'll activate all the other ministry gifts of God. I'm telling you, if you're a teacher, it'll activate teaching. If you're a prophet, it'll activate being a prophet. Whatever other ministry gift, working of miracles, gifts of healings, I'm telling you, it will activate all those things. I'm telling you, folks, during times of praying in tongues, I've seen people, when I was going to a meeting that God wanted to minister to somebody, and I'd go to that meeting and there'd be that exact person. I didn't see the person what they looked like, but their situation, and I was able to have wisdom for them ahead of time and pray for them and saw God touch them. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you need this. This is awesome stuff.